This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now. Podcast Network powered by Spotify. Cousin Sal coming to you. Mikey Meatballs is producing this disaster of a show. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren the Parlay Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
What's up, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, man, we got so much to get to. The NFL regular season is over. I blew our picks title. I had the lead for about 6 or 7 weeks, first half or so. And then the Parlay Kid just pulls away. Won 32 games over 500. Good job by you, Parlay Kid. 146, 114, and 112 is what I have. And now you're going to tell me you're like 148 and 112 and whatever. But anyway, you won by 3 games over Bry, 7 games over me, and 14 games over Harry. I mean, that is Dodgers Rockies all-star break right there. Good job by you.
Thank you, Sal.
Nicely. Nice job.
So I won. What were you beat? What was I 2 up on you coming into this week? Is that what it was?
I don't know. I was awful. I think I was 5-11, but I think I was 5-4 and lost the last 7. Whatever. I know there's no.
That's about right. Collision. Yeah.
Woo. No, yeah. Really
look,
bad.
It's good. And now I think we could have we all now no. Since we started doing this, have we all won this?
I have 2 wins.
Well, how many times? We've been doing this forever. What do you mean?
Well, Sal, last year we included the playoffs.
Yeah. We included the playoffs. Yeah, we keep going. We're going to keep going with this.
No, it's over.
Oh, it's over. Okay. All right.
It's over. Last year was the exception because we wanted to, if you
that's
remember.
That's the case that I beat Brian last year then.
It was true.
No, then it's not over then. Then we can't have it be over then. Okay, that's not the case. Yeah, we'll keep going. You got it, Parlay Kid. You got a feel for this. Just keep it going. Hey, we got a lot to get to. We're going to look ahead to the Super Wild Card weekend game lines. We're going to recap that Week 18 insanity. Plus that wild and yet unsatisfying national championship game from Monday night. We're going to read some mail we get from CousinSalAgainstAllOdds@gmail.com. Yeah, hit us up, CousinSalAgainstAllOdds@gmail.com if you want to reach out and give us hell. But right now it's time to deep dive into the collectively crushed soul of the D3 in a segment we hate to call Bad Aches.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
All right, let's start, Parlay Kid. I'm going to knock you off your pedestal a little here because we all have to talk about the bet aches, the bets that hurt us the most, came down to the wire, bad beats they're called. But let's hear it. You had the Colts, right, on Saturday night?
Yeah, I had the Colts. I'm glad the Texans won. I just think it makes it better for the playoffs. But in terms of the wallet and who I had my money on, and I know, I think Harry had the Colts as well. I think we were both on the Colts.
I did too.
You too, Harry. I mean, yeah. Right? The 3 out of the 4 of us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had to watch that one play at the end of the game about 1,000 times on Saturday night. And, you know, whether it went from, you know, was it a good play call? You know, was it a bad pass? Was it a bad catch?
Mm-hmm. Bottom line is fourth and two. Colts are driving.
It was an excellent play call.
Thank you.
The play was, it was, he was wide open. It was a bad pass, catchable.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's the scheme of the whole thing, right? So you have a third string running back in the game, the backup to the backup, right? Who has had, I don't know, 10 catches on the year, the whole year?
I think it was six, but yeah.
Whatever it is. And that biggest play of the year, that is who the ball is getting thrown to.
Mm-hmm.
I have a problem with that. It made me angry because ultimately I do think if the Colts, I know they still have to put it in the end zone, but if that pass is thrown where it should be, where he makes that catch, he's approaching the goal line. That play was well designed, well set up. And I know what you said. Well, if Taylor was in the game, would the play have worked the same? Because maybe he would have been covered. It's quite possible. We will never know, but Taylor has to be in the game for that play. He was your best, by far, your best offensive performer on that day. And he has to be in there, whether he's in there as a decoy or he's getting the ball.
That's it.
That has to be what happens. Now, if that's the play call and two guys run to Taylor, guess what? Somebody else would have been open on the pass, my guess is. Right? Mm-hmm. He has to be in there. That's my biggest issue. Your best offensive weapon is off the field in the biggest player of the year. That is inexcusable. It's unacceptable. And I'm not a Colts fan, but the Colts fan should.
You're not?
Can you imagine CeeDee Lamb being off the field for the Cowboys in their biggest play of the year? We would be going nuts.
It'll happen too, so don't worry about it. I know. Let's clip that off, Mikey Meatballs, because I'm sure it'll happen and probably against the Packers this week. But Parley Kid, I agree with you. I went at it with Simmons on this on text and then on the show Sunday. Here's what I will say about it. I think it was that whole drive, we can spend forever on it and how Steichen like bled the clock on himself and then called a timeout that he could have used after that on fourth down. Okay. That doesn't make sense. Taylor, this may answer your question. Not taking hits. If he had turned it upfield instead of going out of bounds, 18 inches, he picks up a first down. So I think he was banged up. You're right. Maybe that's why he wasn't on the field, but yes, use him as a decoy. You're definitely going to fool someone into thinking he's going to get the ball there. I love the play call on fourth and one or fourth and two, whatever it was. But here's what I will say, and I know you're saying it's a big spot. Why are you getting the ball to someone who is not used to catching the ball? If I freeze frame that ball in the air and Tyler Goodson wide open and you have to live bet it, Bri, what is the number on the live bet?
That's a good question.
That he gets, minus 50,000 that he catches it, a 2-yard pass.
He gets the first.
Well, he's got the first. He just has to turn.
Yeah, you're just.
Yeah, he didn't have to do any running.
Well, yeah, what are the odds just somebody drops a pass like that?
It's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minus.
It's high.
Yeah.
And so that's my thing, Parley Kid. I'm like, these guys are professionals, right? If catch a ball, they're not pulling them out of the marching band. Nobody had a problem with Dan Campbell on the, with the number 68 being eligible. I know it's a bigger spot, but for God's sakes, it's like a 5-year-old should be able to catch some of these balls. And it wasn't a great pass. I agree.
Here's what I'm going to say to that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like coming off the bench in baseball, right? I guarantee you, if they take what guys' averages are off the bench to pinch hit compared to
it's hitting 100 mile an hour ball cold versus catching a ball in your chest. It's from 2 yards catching away.
I think it's still the, when you combine the not great throw combined with just coming off the bench, maybe not even mentally prepared to do that, which these guys are pros. They should be mentally prepared at all times.
Yep.
But that's a tough situation to put that kid in.
All right.
That is a tough situation.
I'm sure they practice it.
So in the Washington game last night, too.
It wasn't exactly cold. I'm sure they practice it, Bri. I don't know. I just feel like everybody should always have a problem with the alignment catching a ball and spiking it, and because there's always better options than that. That would be my thing.
But think about this. If fourth and one, Dak on the biggest play of the year, swings it out to Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah.
And he drops the ball.
Well, we saw him botch a handoff to the fullback. Like it was a.
Everybody say about that? What are we doing? And that wasn't even the biggest play of the year. The biggest play of the year, Sal. It can't go to that guy. It cannot go to him.
To me, it's like it's not a 4th-and-12 punt, you know, fake punt and everything. I just the fact that it was 1 or 2 yards and just catch a ball. But anyway, let's move off this because the Colts are dead and they cost me money too. Had a great same game parlay there. I think we have some props here. Harry, what did you have? You had the Falcons here. What's your betting?
Well, yeah. First, before the Falcons, Al, I will say that I'm snake bitten in Shark Tank. You went with me. I had 10-point teaser at the Colts. Steelers and New England plus 8.5, holding on for dear life, up 9-3. Bryce Hall just takes off. He can just slide down, take a knee, game's over. He goes 50 yards in the snow. We lose that teaser plus 8.5. That was brutal. I got all Falcons, Sal. I got all Falcons, losing bets this past weekend. I had the Falcons plus 200 to win the division. Had a shot until they crapped the bet after taking a 14-7 lead. And Tampa Bay at the time was struggling against Carolina. Mm-hmm. Had Desmond Ridder, of course, under 2,600 yards. He had 2,550 heading into the game. Only played because Heinicke got hurt last week because Heinicke was going to be designated the starter the rest of the season. So Heinicke's out. Ritter's in. Of course, he goes for more than 50 yards. I lose that. But most importantly, I had a 17 parlay. Last team was Falcons money line. Cost me 100 on a 17.
Oh, that's good. That's fun. By the way, Bryce Hall, who you mentioned, I'd be mad too if the cornerback for the Jets were running rampant.
Bryce Hall,
get the name right.
Yards, all I had to do is take a knee.
All right, brother Brian. I appreciate the laugh. Let's get to your betting.
I have a futures too. Yeah, the only game I really thought I got screwed on was the Panthers game. I felt like they should have been covering between the fumble going into the end zone.
Right, I bet that in game plus 6.5 before about 3 plays before the touchdown that wasn't a touchdown that went through the end zone. By the way, I've got screwed on that 2 weeks in a row with that play.
Yeah, well, the only
thing go through the end zone.
Yeah, the only problem is they recovered. Yeah. So whatever, they were getting the ball back, but just the odds. Just the odds of not scoring. So that was the one game I thought I should have won. But besides that, my future sell, I had CeeDee Lamb most receiving yards at plus 2,500. I know it was a good one. It was a good one. And then he lost by 50 yards. 50 yards. It was one of those things I was praying that I was hoping Buffalo got up big on Sunday night because Tyreek Hill had, I think Lamb had 98 yards against the Commanders and Hill ended up with like 82 yards. But I was hoping just the Bills got up big early in that game and maybe they would have sat Hill. I was hoping,
Hill sits all the time.
Thing is, Hill is always, he's been banged up, I feel like, every game of the season. So I thought maybe he would sit out. I mean, he did miss one game. I thought maybe I'd get him to sit out another game. But that stunk. I was hoping that Lamb caught a few more passes in that game. 98 is plenty, but I thought maybe against the Commanders. Well,
what was Hill going into the week for most receiving yards for the season? Was it just minus 800 or something, or what was it? No, it couldn't have been that high. Did you see it? No. You got to check these things.
I should have checked it. I wasn't.
25-1's a good one.
Yeah, it was a good number.
Mine came in the form. My bet came in the form of a prop two, a futures prop. By the way, I went 17-13 with my rushers under, which is plus 2.18 units, and it would have been more. By the way, I use a lot of quarterbacks too. So Jones, Fields, Allen, Hurts all went under. So that helped that they were 4-1. Right. So the running backs themselves actually didn't really do it for me. But if you bet all the rushing options there, quarterbacks included, you're good. 17-13 on FanDuel. And it would have been more, but Derrick Henry, I had under 1,150.5 rushing. He has 153 on Sunday, parlay kid. He averages like 1.7 yards a carry. Before that, I'm exaggerating. It's more than that, but in his swan song, and I make fun of Bry, I should have just bet his over. I don't know what the hell I was doing. 153, he goes over that rushing total by 15. But so there you go.
That's a bad one. It's a bad one.
Runners under, continue to win. Do it.
Yeah.
Keep it up. And it wasn't even a lot of injuries this year, right? Like, I guess quarterback unders is a way to go, Folly Kid.
Yeah, as it turned out.
You would have won with everybody.
Look, you got screwed because Henry had the perfect team to play against. Boy, with the Jaguars, They couldn't have been any softer. They did not want to tackle anybody their last 2 or 3 weeks of football. I don't know what happened. They literally quit.
They were 8-3 and don't make the playoffs.
They were 8-3. They went 1-5 down the stretch. Vrabel was fired Tuesday morning. So that was it for the Titans. Yeah.
The London hangover.
I guess it is. Maybe they just play all their games there. Something maybe that's better. But yeah, they were eight and three. I think they were 8-3 when Philly was 10-1. And I'm not saying like everybody picked that to be
their
Super
Bowl. That was good
Bowl.
For you and I because we had them under 10 wins, Sal. Yeah. So that was good.
Yeah, I guess we definitely did. And, you know, I was, but at the same time, when they were 8-3, I'm screaming, wow, this, you can get plus 700 for a number one seed. Maybe that's not, they're not even playing in mid-January. All right, that's it. Let's hear the music, Mikey Meatballs. That's the bad.
When a bet makes you sick and you make the wrong pick, it's a bad ache. It's a bad ache. It's a bad ache.
All right, now let's get to the good. We do give out winners from time to time. Best futures bets for 2023 or for the regular season. Well, Harry, now you were going to stray a little because you didn't have any in the pros, really, to speak of fondly. But you did have Michigan. Good job by you. What were the odds you had Michigan before the year?
8.5 to 1. I mean, it just, listen, easy schedule.
It's pretty
especially
good.
In that conference. Had Ohio State at home. Get that done. And third time is a charm for Harbaugh getting to the college playoffs. Lost the last 2 years, but won these two. Had a tremendous team. And also, by the way, I did go out of the Big Five conferences, the Power Five. I did hit the conference champion in 4 of the 5.
Really? 4 or 5? Who'd you have? You had Texas, Michigan?
No, I didn't have Texas.
Really?
Wait, I had Oklahoma minute. There. I had Michigan, Bama, Washington, and Florida State.
Okay. All right. All right.
That's good.
I'm surprised I hadn't heard about that before. All right. So, but what happens, Bri, when this Michigan title is vacated? Does Harry have to give back the $0 he won off of his Michigan bet?
Yeah.
How does that work?
I know it's funny, right? We talked about that. I mean, it seems like that's actual possibility, right? That down the road, that something like that could happen.
Sure.
Harry put nothing on it. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he did, you know, he jinxed it enough by taking a picture with Harbaugh at, I posted it last night. This was at a Springsteen, Meatballs and I were trying to figure out when this was. This was in before the summer, like in March or something?
Yeah,
let me ask you this. When were you in Europe? You would think that when were you in Europe is a good enough question. Yeah. Oh,
was?
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's in Detroit. All right, so you don't know when? That was in March? Whatever.
It was cold outside that day. It was cold, so it was probably March in Detroit.
Well, he needed you. He needed a big body there to warm him up. You saddled right up next to him for the encore.
Great conversation. Couldn't have been nicer.
And he was by himself, too, there, right, Harry?
Yeah, and then you can see in the Tim Horton Cup, he was chewing tobacco, a real man.
There you go, real man. Yeah. By the way, to me, fine, real man. Congratulations, Harbaugh. This is Coach Moore's title. This is Coach Moore, parlay kid. I give this to Coach Moore. Shedding the tears there like a month ago. Give it to him. He was there for the big ones, the games that mattered. All right. I'm starting trouble here with Harry's guy. I know.
How is this Harry's guy? Harry has killed him.
Yeah.
For years in the past,
but also, Darren, remember Michigan when Shea Patterson was there?
But you also would say when that Michigan team flopped.
Right.
It was all because of Harbaugh. He's a terrible coach. He's a bum. This is what you can't. I don't forget these things, especially when it comes to the coaches.
No kidding.
Because the coach's slander is out of control. And you shouldn't have. This is you. And you slandered him for years.
I can't believe you only
got 8.5 to 1 on that, Harry. I really, that's a great bet. I'm shocked it was only 8.5 to 1 because they were 50 to 1 last year to win it all.
Right.
And their team wasn't really much different. But it's great job by Harry. But let's not pretend him and Harbaugh are buddies. No, he actually hates Harbaugh. He hates him.
I don't get the Harbaugh hate.
He's a great coach. And his players love him. What else do you need to know?
I've been on a plane with Harbaugh. I was in first class. He was in coach. Just throwing that out there.
Wow.
He's a man of the people, which you once again have shown you are not a man of the people.
You are, yeah.
You want to be.
He also got a DUI the next week.
You are just dying to be a man of the people, but you're not. You put yourself above everybody.
Well, that was when he was at the University of San Diego, Darren. No one cared about him there.
And that's when you were picking up dog crap. You know, flying first class.
I love it.
It'll
be back.
Those are facts.
Paid nicely.
You don't think Harry said when in that great conversation he had with Harbaugh, he mentioned all the terrible things he used to say about him while a kid? You don't think so? You don't think he came clean?
Yeah, I like that one. I wonder if he said, "Hey, Jim, you know, I."
Always
you
know, a fan.
It was about time you took care of Ohio State Brian Bank.
I'm sure you used those words. It was about time. Yeah.
Well,
and then he signaled to security and say, "Hey, it's about time you get this slob away from me. I don't want anything to do with
him." He was fine with it.
Bri, let's go. So now we have pros, our best picks here. We're gonna lean on some of the good things we've did. Wow, this is a great one. Texans worst to first. Good job by you. I think they were only expected to win six and a half games, right?
Yeah, well, and look, I was surprised they actually, I didn't think this one was going to hit. You asked me my best bets a couple weeks ago, and I was saying I didn't have anything greater than 5-1. I think this was... it's either 8-1 or plus 850. So yeah, this was a good one. But again, I mean, I like the Titans too, but I didn't think this was too realistic a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, for a division where three of the four teams were in it in week 18 to win it, and I had the other team, but they looked the most impressive out of all four. I thought it was really weird. Yeah, I had the Titans, but Texans worst to first. Good number there. Parlay Kid, Bears exactly 7 wins. How the hell did you know?
Wow. I thought the Bears were better than people thought. 7 wins doesn't sound great, but they're an improving team. It's going to be interesting. They're going to have an interesting offseason, that's for sure. And obviously, having Lamar, what is he now? I had him at 16-1 for MVP.
Oh, there's no, you can't have it. Right. You can't bet it
and,
now. That's
and here's the thing. Here's the thing. I have him at 16-1.
Yeah.
And I think Dak Prescott's the MVP of this league. Call me biased. I don't care. You can say whatever you want. I'm a homer. Fine. Call me a homer. Dak had a better year than Lamar Jackson. Had a better year.
I think it's close. I think it's really close. I do. And so they're going to give it to the higher seed. It's close, Parlick. And I don't like that Dak puts up great numbers against Washington and he gets crap for it when Lamar gets to sit. Like, I don't love that aspect of analyzing it.
I agree, but I still think coming into that game, his numbers were better anyway. I think he should at least be in the conversation. This shouldn't be so one-sided towards Lamar.
He's in the conversation. You know, they have
Cowboys
like a podium
had the highest scoring,
thing, right?
You know, they have the most points, high scoring offense. You know,
Darren, can I just say one thing, Darren?
And the Cowboys had no running game, by the way, Sal. Lamar's got a running game there.
Yeah.
In Baltimore. Go ahead, Harry.
Dallas did beat the Giants and Washington, Darren. Dallas beat Dak. Big part of it, no doubt about it. But Dallas beat the Giants in Washington this year by a total of 135.
I agree, and that's where Dak gets hurt. He gets almost punished.
I hate to agree with Harry here, but the AFC North doesn't have two teams like the Giants and Commanders. They don't. Every game's tough. Three playoff teams.
That being said,
the Jets with their defense.
What division was the best in football last year, Sal?
It was NFC East.
The NFC East.
Yeah.
Yes, it was. They had the best division of football. So
yeah. Well, he didn't play four.
You didn't
games,
talk about
yeah.
that. You didn't talk yeah. about it last year. So yeah, Lamar 16-1.
Hurts was probably second last year. I know. Yeah. I think it's close. I really do. He played better in the tougher games, I think, is why he's gonna win.
But Sal.
But I think it's close. And if you say CeeDee Lamb is up there for MVP, then
I love votes, Lamb. I was on the the Cooper Kupp train 2 years ago. Right. I think Lamb, if I ever thought a receiver could get it.
So good.
Boy, oh boy, he should be in the conversation because he was
Raiders screwed up.
Brian says that every week he's watching the so Cowboys. Bad. It's like, I cannot believe the Raiders.
They blew it. Let me tell you something.
So you might not know about CeeDee Lamb. He lost out on the receiving title for yards by 50 this year. I'm not sure if it, do any of you know that? No, how close that was.
But I do have another good futures.
Well, but by the way, let me just say Bears exactly 7. How much did that pay? That must have
plus 550.
That's crazy because it was 6.5 was their over under. Now I know nailing it exactly is tough, but that's right there. I mean, I think your analysis was like they're gonna win 7 or 8 games, probably, right? So you picked one. That's nice.
Yeah, I mean, that's all it was. I mean, that's luck. Nice to have Lamar after coming off a 14-1 Heisman winner. Lamar at 16-1. But here's what we all have. Brother Bri is out in this. But we do have our futures still left in our Super Bowl matchups. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh. I have the Ravens over the Cowboys at 120-1.
Oh, that's
120
nice.
120-1. Now, here's the thing. I'll be honest. Everything we did, I only put like $20 to $25 on.
Fine.
So I'll never win.
Don't apologize.
I'll never win big money. I'll never win big
That's
money
so
off any of this.
That's so much more money than Harry's putting on these. Don't worry. It's a ton
And honestly,
more.
I think I'm a little behind. So, but once this Lamar thing cashes, I'll go,
there you go
up. But if that could hit, but can you imagine me rooting against, I couldn't root against the Cowboys. I'd have to hedge that somehow, right?
Oh, so, yeah.
Hedge it's it now. An easy way to hedge.
Darren, what's Sal's?
Yeah, that's
mine
right. I could just hedge
mine's
it now.
Gotta be. I don't even know what it is, but I'd guess Chiefs 49ers. Is that what I said?
Yes. I think and Harry's is Chiefs Eagles, I think. Again.
No.
Oh, where'd you get that?
Harry
from,
of the Bill?
Mine's Eagles.
Oh, Bills. Eagles, Bills. All right. Yes. And Bri had Chiefs, Bengals. Bengals, Eagles.
The Bengals might have a better chance than the Eagles.
Harry has Eagles to beat Bills. Harry has the Eagles to beat the Bills. Harry, that's still got a shot. Mine is down. My Ravens to beat the Cowboys is down to 16-1, I think now.
Wow. The Eagles are playing possum, Darren. I don't know.
Yeah. They are terrible. We'll get to those games in a second. I had Stroud offensive rookie of the year.
It's crazy
because the Texans, their video, their social media team, Houston Texans, send out a thing for all the doubters. And Simmons is one of them saying, I just don't believe in Stroud. I don't think he's got it. And I think he went through a whole thing with quarterbacks and initials. They never do well. A.J. McCarron. Who else would be? He had like five of them. It was actually true. It was like, oh, wow. Yeah, that guy never really panned out. PJ, whatever. Yeah, there are a ton of them. But what they did, 18 inches from Simmons on that day. I'm saying Stroud's offensive player of the year or rookie of the year. Put that in there. Come on.
I think, you said it right on our pod, Sal, back then, too. You were all over that in May. In May, you were all like the first, as soon as those odds came out, you said that should be publicized.
Let me just say something here, and I'm not going to say I'm some kind of genius, but Stroud beat up, who was it, Bri? Ohio State, right? In the semifinals? He beat up Georgia, right?
Oh, yeah. He had a great game against Georgia.
Great game. I think that should be, this is how we should decide who quarterbacks, which, you know, like we'll get to Penix in a second, but everybody should play the Michigan defense in January. And we should pay the Michigan defense. They pump so much money into these quarterbacks. Don't you want that as a metric? Figure it out. Penix goes against, Drake May goes against the Michigan defense the third week in January, whatever. I think they should be the sparring partners. That should be the new, forget these pro days and what everyone's vertical is. Like we saw Penix get beat up by Michigan. Like that's going to say a lot. I think his value drops. We could talk about it now, Parley. You have to think his value drops a little bit, right? Because of that?
Yeah. I mean, you know what? Compared to the game before against Texas, I think Ryan Leaf's analysis at the end of the game on Twitter, I thought was really good about it. He just seemed like he had, he was never able to really set his feet. He was very jittery in the pocket. Like when you watch that ball come out of his hand against Texas, it was zip. He was constantly throwing off his back foot with pressure or without pressure because I think he was anticipating pressure. Mm-hmm. He wasn't able to get his eyes down the field because he was anticipating pressure. played a little scared. He did yesterday.
It looked like Yeah, and the throws were again, off. Everything was sailing, and you don't want to hold it against them. He had a great couple of years.
And Michigan's defense is obviously an elite college defense, but they're definitely now has to. There's questions that have to arise about Michael Penix.
Right? Well, here's what I'll say:
You have to talk about it
even more than his ability and how shaky he looked. Every time he got hit, he's grabbing his ribs. He's coming up. If I see that, I'm like, oh yeah, this guy has injury issues in the past, and look at him getting beat up over there.
Well, that's Ryan not Leaf pretty, said that. You know? That's one of the things he mentioned.
Oh, you get a room with Ryan
Twitter.
Leaf, Parlay Kid.
I know you guys.
He's
buddies.
Not allowed to. He's not allowed
that.
To mention that name right anymore. So
yeah, okay.
Look, Ryan Leaf.
I mentioned Ryan Leaf.
It's fine.
No, you're right. It was.
We all watched the game, but yeah, you're right.
The quarterback market. Who's the quarterback? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
McCarthy didn't set the world on fire either yesterday.
Yeah. We'll get to that. He had 10 completions, McCarthy, and if you put it, thought he'd have to do a little more. Well, we'll get to that game in a minute. I think we'll hold off because I do have some more to say about that. But so I have Stroud offensive rookie of the year and Cowboys high. I may not have given this out on the podcast, but I did have it amongst my 17 pages. Yeah,
you've always said that. You've always said it.
Well, my
you've
thing is they it. Almost had high scoring last year and Dak missed four games. So to get him at 10-1 odds, and as far as I'm concerned, Harry, highest scoring team, I feel this way in fantasy, same way. That's the best team. Stop the season right now. Dallas Cowboys, Super Bowl champs.
Highest
scoring team. That's it, right?
But so they were close, right? That was a nip and tuck down the stretch, right?
Well, if Miami had scored 23, I think I'm done. And they had 14, you know, they had a couple chances there. Go ahead, Harry. What?
Wow.
No, it's a good one. Dallas at home was unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's 8-0. And
the last 2 years, you can't beat them.
Yeah. And I'm really saying this year, 30 plus points in every single home game except that Detroit game. And like four or five of those games were in the 40s.
Right. There you go. And the Jets would have been in the 40s too, but they kind of nailed it in the third quarter. All right. We're all over the place here. But Black Monday. So Arthur Smith fired from the Falcons. Ron Rivera fired from the Commanders. Mike Vrabel, it took till Tuesday, but he's gone. It's fine. Good job by you, Mike Vrabel. You got me the win on Sunday. I loved Tennessee. I'm wondering, so it's Vrabel, Belichick, and Harbaugh. I'm looking at those three because I think there's value. You know, I think that's who teams would want. If they want to spend money, I think that's who they would want the most, right? Those are the most viable candidates. Bri, start with you. Do you see any of those three on any specific team? Got a couple South teams in there. Got the Chargers, obviously. Patriots. And, you know, what do you think? Tennessee? Who do you like?
Well, look, I was thinking about Vrabel, and the only thing I would say about Vrabel is, will a team want him just based on what they've done offensively, right? Like, you look at Arthur Smith, who used to be the coach, you know, the offensive coordinator for Vrabel. They run a similar style. It's like an all-running offense, very boring. I don't know if teams are necessarily going to want Vrabel as their quarterback, because I was trying to think of a fit for him. Because I was thinking, Atlanta. Well, Atlanta's not going to go that route, right? Because it's the same.
Right.
It's the same thing as Arthur Smith. So, possibly Belichick or Vrabel, like with the Commanders, I guess you could say. But other than that, Sal, I'm not necessarily convinced on any of these teams. Yeah.
All right, Harry. What do you got? You like any of those three going anywhere specific?
Well, I've been saying it for a couple months now that I think Harbaugh is going to the Raiders.
Did he say this to you in your private conversation?
No, but I just have a real good feeling. I know the Chargers job is, you know, somewhat lucrative, but the Spanos really are cheap, known to be cheap owners. I don't think they're going to shell out the money for Harbaugh. I think it's a perfect situation for Jim. Mark Davis.
Well, it's not, because Mark Davis owes a zillion dollars
to former coaches. He owes McDaniels. I don't think he cares. If he would have wanted Pierce, after that game on Sunday, he would have hired Pierce. He wants a name. I think he wants Harbaugh. Doesn't care about the money. He's going to shell it out anyways. I think he goes to the Raiders, and it's a perfect fit for the Raiders and Jim Harbaugh.
Well, that is an interesting point. If you are looking to spend, then you move off of Antonio Pierce, Bri. Mm-hmm. But how long do they wait? before they, if they're not, what I'm saying is you're not going to replace a Antonio Pierce with another Antonio Pierce.
Yeah, right? I just get the sense they're going to keep Pierce. Again, a cheap option. You said, still paying Gruden, still paying McDaniels. And look, Davis doesn't have a ton of money. Unless Davis is selling a small portion of his team to be able to pay $100 million in coaches, I just don't know. I mean, look, I would love him to be the coach of the Raiders.
It's kind of funny. Kind of funny the way it works.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Rod, wouldn't you think after that win against Denver that if that was the deal, he would have signed him then? He would have said, you're my head coach for next
year. I mean, it's a valid point. It's a valid point. Yeah,
they probably want to hear from a few people. Yeah. They could take some interviews. All right, Paula Kidd, where are you going with any of these three?
So I don't know if I have them specifically. Vrabel could end up in New England. Do they go that way? I don't know. Belichick, I would sell the farm to get Belichick to come coach my team. Where does he end up? What are the attractive destinations? Belichick's got to go somewhere. Belichick's going to end up going to a playoff team that gets knocked out early. That's a viable team.
Well, how about Darren? How about Belichick goes to maybe the Chargers? Nice weather. Doesn't have to worry about that. He's got a quarterback.
Harry, you have the quarterback.
Carolina start
you
over,
do, but
Washington start
there's
over.
There's something missing in that whole franchise, right?
I'm not saying there's not, but at least you have a quarterback and you've got.
You do. But that's what I mean.
Yeah, but you're going against the best quarterback at number one. Like Mahomes, like that's why these South jobs are the best, right? Like, all right.
No, you said that, Sal. But the
quarterback situation stinks in Atlanta. But if you want to prove you're a great coach, you could turn that around and win that division and not have a great team. Like you can make the playoffs. Like if Belichick, and again, it all has to do with how you're going to get along with the owner and if he wants to give up his GM responsibilities, which he hasn't in the past. But you need to be just a little better than Desmond Ridder to win that NFC South this year. Just a little bit, right? Whereas the AFC West is going to be probably Mahomes. That team was so bad this year, and they won the West without a challenge, right, Brian?
Yeah. I think Belichick stays on the East Coast. There's nothing that I've seen that he would want to coach on the West Coast. So you're right. Potentially a South team, but I don't know. Don't you picture him in a sweatshirt, like a hoodie all the time? I can't,
I think Vrabel would have to have a cut off sweater vest, which would be interesting.
But then again, for Vrabel, the Pats definitely want to go in a different direction. Isn't that more the same?
Probably.
Vrabel for Belichick.
I don't know.
I just don't think, man, some of these teams, none of them, I know what you're saying in Atlanta, Sal. I would rather I like Harry's idea better for these coaches because you got to go where there's at least a quarterback. I don't see these guys like Belichick doesn't have a lot of years left. He can't go somewhere.
Darren, does Belichick want to go to a Carolina situation?
No way. I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
You don't have enough players and you're too old.
Now, granted, is nowhere but up. So you win 8 games. You're a hero. But at the same time,
well, Parley Kid and Harry's going to get a kick out of this. I think it's a lot like wrestling. Like you have a varsity wrestler at 145 and you're pretty good at 45, but you're not going to beat Labrizzi at 45. So you got to suck weight to get down to 38, Parley Kid. Same thing.
Yeah.
All right. You don't want to coach in a division where Mahomes is. You can go somewhere else. Go to Atlanta. There you go.
I think that's fine for some coaches. Like, obviously, Peyton took that challenge.
Right.
Right.
But I know. But so, do you think Anthony Labrizzi is mentioned on any other sports podcast today? No. I think probably not. I don't know.
No, he lives out by you, I'm pretty sure, though.
Does he really?
I think he's on the West Coast. Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Labrizzi went to Virginia Tech.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to correct you. You're right. All right. Enough Labrizzi talk. Maybe actually more Labrizzi talk. Anthony Labrizzi on the other side of the break. We'll take a break real quick. And we'll head into those line look aheads for Super Wild Card Week.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, so six games this weekend. I'm going to talk to Peter King about this because I think I'm more infatuated with the scheduling of the games than the games themselves. And we send texts back and forth. No, this is going to be the Shakey's game, and this has to be Monday. And oh, what are they going to do with Peacock? But as it is now, the Shakey's game, once again, Houston home for the Shakey's game. We do our fantasy football banquet at Shakey's and watch that first playoff game every year. COVID's kind of gotten in the way of that. But Houston, once again, so seven times they've made it to the playoffs in the first round. They've played the Shakey's game slot every single time. They're home for Cleveland, 2.5. Harry, is that fair? I don't think it goes to three. They beat the crap out of Houston, but that was Davis Mills and Case Keenum. That was on Christmas. So you really can't look into that too much. Are people loving the Browns too much, though?
I don't think so. I think this is a good number, Sal. Houston, seven of their last eight wins, one-score games. Six of Cleveland's last nine one-score games. I know lately, though, I know Cooper didn't play last couple of games, but banged up a little bit, but still has been tremendous down the stretch.
Do you know that? Do you finally know that? Because I'm glad you know it. The news got to you.
If he needed to play last week, I'm sure he would have played, but he didn't. And also, probably the X factor in this game really could be David Njoku. He's been unbelievable the last three games. He's had 100-yard games and just dominating, getting the ball. And I think he could be, again, the factor in this game down the stretch because, like I said, Houston, seven of the last eight wins, one-score games, close games all around. Cleveland, maybe. Yeah, it's a fair number, so.
I think he's the most productive. Now that Laporte is out, and I think he's out, right? Actually, am I jumping the gun here with Laporte being out? Yeah. Njoku becomes the most important tight end. Whatever. I've given up on Kelsey. I'm sorry. It's just how I feel. Pauly kid, it's not often where the better quarterback is an underdog, and especially at home in these games.
No, but you, this is not your typical like Saturday playoff game, right? They'll say you like this game
because
you've been on Cleveland.
Yeah.
This is your quarterback you've been on all year with the team you've been on all year.
Sure.
Going against Lil A's least favorite team in the Browns, right? So, this is a game. Are we all rooting for the Browns here? I don't know.
I got to think about it. I promise Little A at some point we have to root against them. But that's the point, Brian. I think we're automatically placing them because we want them to go to Baltimore. And that's not definitely a matchup in the second round. Things could get screwy. But if it's the 4-5 winner against the one, if that holds out, we're already penciling that in. I feel like there might be a little too much love for the Browns.
No, I agree. I think that's part of the problem. And I think that's why the line is where it is. It's a low line here. But look, Houston was 6-3 at home. The Browns were 3-5 on the road. So, you just really don't. I mean, you're banking on Flacco being pretty good, but I don't know if that's necessarily the case here. So I'd be worried about this a little bit. And it's funny, like, I wouldn't love, even though I love Stroud and you love seeing Stroud play, I wouldn't necessarily love seeing Stroud have to go to Baltimore though, right? The next round, that would be a game they'd get beat up, right?
That's a tough spot for them. That's a happy to be there thing.
Yeah,
they played earlier this year and Stroud couldn't do anything against a Baltimore D.
Yeah.
I'm looking Flacco, Flacco had two interceptions in that game against the Texans, but I guess you can when it's Davis Mills and Case Keenum on the other end, right? Have to be a little more careful. The way it goes. All right, the second game, the Saturday night game, the Peacock game. Now, Harry, what are your plans for this Peacock thing?
I know. I have not made arrangements yet. I don't know what to do yet. I don't know. Maybe I may have to go somewhere because I probably can't figure out how to get it at home.
All right, good. Well, see, I like the honesty there, Bri, from Harry. He's not going to be able to see this. He's definitely, definitely not paying for it.
And I got to say, game time is 4 degrees, 90% snow on Friday. into Saturday. You know, it's going to be
it's
a wild
fun one. It's, I mean, there's three Hall of Famers in this game that a lot of people aren't going to see, you know, some of them aren't playing like Hall of Famers, but anyway, Kansas City is up to 4 home against Miami. It was 3.5. It went up. Miami was brutal to watch Sunday. They really were. And I didn't think the Bills were that great either. I mean, Josh Allen showcased his talents for sure, but they needed that Deontay Harris punt return to wake them up. And then it happened. And then Allen made some big plays. And now the Finns have to play. Harry, I heard 18 below wind chill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Bri, I don't know if anyone's betting Miami. So this is what I just want to be careful looking at these games, right? Well, it's good to have a conversation, as Aaron Rodgers has taught us. Miami plus 4. Is anyone taking that?
I don't think there's going to be many. I don't think there's going to be many. Well, look, I could see Miami, especially if they get some of their guys back on offense. I could see them keeping this maybe close. You know, you could see this being a 20-17, but I'm going to have a hard time not putting a lot of money on the money line here in this game.
I know. Side, right? I know. And why, though?
Because it's like, why?
See this
how
being
are they,
a 10-7
you know,
game?
Everything's
in the
against
quarter.
Miami, though, guys. They're banged up. Waddle, Mostert, Tua soft, cold weather. He's from Hawaii.
I agree.
Kansas City beat Miami in Germany. It all adds up to Kansas City. You go the other way.
All right, here we go, Harry.
I don't agree with that.
Harry's going to go Miami. Harry. There's going to be some weird holding call in the second quarter, and Kansas City's going to win by 3, and then or 6 or whatever, and we're never going to hear the end of it. Right, Parley Kid? That's it.
I didn't hear Harry talking about the questionable holding call on the Washington player yesterday in probably the biggest call of the game either. So
that was big, right?
That was lame.
73. Was that at the lineman? Yeah.
Yeah,
you got a couple more things.
I thought that was his other one.
Well, his other one was, I didn't like that one at all.
And then there was holding the other way when they blew it open.
Yes.
The Michigan.
Yes.
Yeah, they didn't call.
Right.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Harry didn't complain about that.
Yeah, we didn't hear you complain about that. All right, Harry. Well, good luck. I don't know how you're going to see this game
for the game.
Yeah. You know what, Harry? It's probably better off you don't watch this because it's going to play out exactly how I said. The team you bet against, the Chiefs, the team you hate, is going to win in a weird way. So it's, save yourself money, save yourself grief. Don't watch the Peacock game. Buffalo. So now Sunday's a good slate. Sunday's a fun one. Buffalo, 10-point favorite against Pittsburgh. Buffalo is home. I mean, obviously, this line is gigantic because of TJ Watt's absence. Has that been confirmed yet? It seems like he would miss like a couple of games. Too. So he's out with this MCL thing. And they are, Brian, they're just a different team without him. They're like 1-11.
I know.
Like they're trends that matter. And then there are trends that don't matter. They're 1-11. And they're like 28 games above 500 with him. So that's why it's 10 instead. Like, this guy's worth like 3 points to the line, I think.
Did you say a great Sunday slate and you mentioned the Steelers?
I know. I can't believe it. I think fan base wise, this one,
it's still fun. I do the line I hate though. It seems high, but it's a little fishy, right? With that Watt, they blow it over.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know which way I'm leaning on this one yet. So it is.
Harry, you think it's too high?
I think it's too high even without Watt. Guys, remember last year. Nobody gave Miami a chance in Buffalo on wild card weekend with Skylar Thompson at quarterback, and the Bills barely escaped with a 3-point win as a big favorite. And Pittsburgh, I don't know. I know not having Watt is huge, but they got some mojo going on. Rudolph getting along with the teammates and finding finding players. He was tremendous in his in the game in terms of completion percentage against Baltimore. And Harris, back to back weeks. Got over 100 yards, got a touchdown in both games. And I know with Watt not playing, it's going to be difficult, but Marcus Golden's going to fill in for him a lot. That's a guy who's played really well in the past 3 seasons, got 17.5 sacks when he was with Arizona and the Giants. I don't know. 10 is too high for a player.
Too high. Paulie Kidd, I know it's like, you know, years past, you could always count on a team to score like 38 or 40 at home in the playoffs. And it should be Buffalo. It should be Kansas City, right? I guess because that's what we're used to, right? I'm not even talking about the teams that have buys this week. It's probably our team. Our team is the only one you can count on, as Harry gave the stats for 30-plus points at home. It just doesn't happen, except on that Detroit game. But Buffalo, yeah, weird. I want to celebrate Josh Allen, too, but that first half against the Dolphins was weird. That first half against the Patriots the week before, they could barely capitalize off of 4 turnovers in the first half. Come on, be good or don't be good.
Allen had three turnovers.
Yeah, well, that's always going to happen too. That's the other thing. But he usually makes up for it. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe 10's too high. All right, Pauly kid, let's get to our game. This is Sunday afternoon. Cowboys and Packers. I thought it would be 7.5. It opened at 7, and now it's 7.5. You think that's fair?
I'd like to see it lower. I think this is fair just based on Green Bay, 9-8 team. I know they're playing pretty well. Young quarterback making his first playoff start, going into a team that has won 15 games in a row at home. They've dominated teams on their home field. So this has got to be right. I don't know. I mean, then you look at the Buffalo-Pittsburgh at 10. I mean, could this even be higher in this Dallas game?
Yeah. I'm saying. They're the only team that consistently scores at home, a place where they never lose.
Yeah.
And it's only 7.5.
It's actually an interesting. At first, I'm thinking maybe it should be like 7.
Mm-hmm.
But then now I'm thinking, based on the Buffalo minus 10, I mean, should this be 8.5 or so? Based on that other point spread.
Here's what we'll do.
Because Pittsburgh finished strong too. They finished strong. So like Green Bay did, it's very interesting. By the way, the weather is going to be terrible in Buffalo too on Sunday.
I love it.
So
I love it.
It's going to be 25 and windy. So the wind chill is going to be close to zero, I'm sure, up in Buffalo. If anybody can handle that weather, it's Josh Allen.
That's Mason Rudolph weather right there.
I've mentioned this too before. I hate to go back to that game because I do think that Cowboys spread is probably where it should be. Maybe it should be a little at 8 or 8.5. But Buffalo's lost 6 games by 26 total points this year. Have not lost by more than 6 in a game all year. This team could literally be undefeated. They could be this close. They really are.
I know. I know you love them.
But yet they've won a lot of close games too.
Right.
So
wait for them to bust out and be the team that beat Miami earlier in the year and just crush them.
Are you nervous? Are you nervous about this?
Well, here's why I'm nervous, because we're playing the hottest quarterback in the league. I mean, he is. Last 8 games, he's 16 touchdowns, 1 interception, and he's 6-2.
They're running the ball well too.
They're running okay. I don't think he's going to be have a smooth pocket like he had against the Bears. By the way, Bears, again, disappointment. Show up for this rivalry, please. We all had them, I think, at least. We all had plus three. You didn't? I had them plus 7.5. Maybe that's my bet ache. That was terrible. They lose by 8, but freaking show up finally against Green Bay. Not the best Green Bay team. Can you win? Can you play spoiler? But they didn't. But I don't think it'll be like that for Love, where he just slings it to these receivers who you haven't heard of. But I also don't want to set myself up, because Mike McCarthy losing to Green Bay would be a terrific narrative for everyone to run.
He gets fired if they lose at all. He gets fired if they lose.
Jerry came out and endorsed him today. So
What's crazy?
Who knows?
In this, right, Sal? So you got the McCarthy Green Bay thing.
And then
right?
the next Plus, one we're gonna go over. Yeah.
Right, but you also have Tyreek Hill in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
And Cleveland and Houston made that big trade. I know Watson's not playing, but they still partnered in that trade.
That's true. Yep.
So, there's so many storylines.
And then the biggest one is the one we haven't hit, Detroit and the Rams. That's the Sunday there's still another one after that. It was a Sunday night. Detroit 3.5 over the Rams. It was around 3, hovered around 3.5. Bri, you like this number? It feels like everyone is just waiting for Detroit to fall flat on their face against a Rams team.
This is another one that I feel like everybody's on the Rams. I mean, at the 3.5 number, if this was 3, I don't know which way I go. 3.5, I do like the Rams right now too, but I feel like everybody likes the Rams, right? I agree with you. Everybody's kind of just waiting, right, for Detroit, right? They haven't won a playoff game since what, 91? Jeez.
That's so long. Was that our team? Was that against us?
I'm pretty sure that was against
Steve. That was a bad one, right? Is that like 41-6 or something?
That's crazy to think
Kramer,
that, right?
Kramer? Was that Kramer versus Berline?
Was it Mitchell or Kramer?
No, Aikman played in that game, Darren.
Did he?
He got steamrolled.
Sal,
I got to look this up.
Imagine though you were a Lions fan, Sal, and you're like, we haven't won since I was 20 years old. Like, right? I mean, how nuts is that?
Right. So that was 92. It was Fonts against Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, Kramer's right, Paulie kid. Good job. Boy, he had a pretty good game. I think he had like three touchdowns. They had, yeah, I remember that interception return. Sanders had a touchdown. Let me see. Yeah, and Aikman was 11 for 16. Jesus. How do you lose a game? How do you lose 38-6?
I feel like, why did I think Berline played that game? It's so weird.
Berline did play. Berline did play. Did he get hurt?
He did?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, he did play. 7 for 13. 7 for 13. Yeah, one interception. I don't know. He was sacked a bunch of times. I'm looking at this. Yeah, not pretty. Emmett had 80 yards. Anyway, so that's 32 years ago. All right. Not our problem. But I think like the Lions would, if you're the Lions, Brian, you want to play, rather play the Packers who beat you on Thanksgiving, beat you up bad, and obviously a division rival, or the Rams?
Oof. That's a good question.
Packers. You'd rather play the Packers.
I think so too. Packers. I think so too.
I think they said the Packers are like the fourth youngest team ever. Is that right?
Yeah.
Man.
I thought that's what I saw. I think the average age was like 25 years old.
Slap them around, Parlikin. And then the Monday game, who no one could figure out and no one cares about. But Harry, you could find this though. It's on ESPN, right? Philly now a 3-point favorite at Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay's been bad too. We talked about how they barely showed up against the Panthers, and the week before showed up even less against New Orleans. Mm. And then and Philadelphia, I can't get a handle on this team at all. I mean, how did they look so bad trying to win that game, at least in the first half against the Giants, who they also barely beat on Christmas Day? Like, Harry, what is with this Philly team and this game? And I don't think it should be 3. I think 3 is too high.
Maybe, you know, this is these two teams met 2 years ago in the playoffs when Hurts was a quarterback and they lost that game. I think the number's right on. Kind of, I know Philly's been limping badly. 1-5 in the last five wins, one score games. Brown and Smith both banged up too. But also, you mentioned Tampa's limping into the playoffs, scoring 0 touchdowns versus Carolina. Tanked the week before against the Saints, like you said, at home. Terrible. Terrible start. And Baker has rib issues. So
yeah,
this is going to be a tough one. I'm leaning a little bit more towards the under more than anything. I like the under in this game because it's just both teams, rough stuff right now.
I needed Mike Evans to score for a parlay, and Baker just the first quarter, he's definitely banged up, right? It's a shoulder, right? Is it ribs or a shoulder?
I thought I saw ribs too. Yeah.
I don't know. He was,
he had Evans a few times wide open.
Right? He had him in that first quarter. Yeah. It was so bad. So I don't know. I don't know if I'll have money left by Monday night to bet on this, but yeah. So interesting. Interesting how this is going to play out for the Monday night game. Definitely screws with guess the lines. All right. Hey, let's take a quick break. We'll go a little more on that Washington-Michigan game. We got some mail to read, and we'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on Cars.com.
All right, so we half covered this Washington-Michigan game. I might have screwed this up, but anyway, probably should have just gone all in on it. But anyway, they end up winning 34-13 Michigan. They're the champs. Harbaugh wins, maybe takes off. I was thinking that first, and I had Washington plus the points, and I'm like, this is TCU Georgia territory. This is going to be 40-16 before we know it. It ended up 34-13, but it was actually closer than that. They piled up at the end, but they dominated, I felt like, when they needed to. And then the game just got weird, and Washington had chances but couldn't get back in the game. So, Harry, good job again with Michigan.
Look, like I said in my analysis last week, Corum would play a big part. He did, 2 touchdowns, broke a lot of tackles. McCarthy's a leader. Third time to the playoffs would be a charm for my buddy Jim Harbaugh, and it was. But most importantly, Washington Penix, we mentioned earlier too, just ran into a buzzsaw, which is the Michigan defense, and couldn't get things going. Penix was shaky, couldn't find receivers, didn't have a lot of time. And again, the defense was the most important reason why I think Michigan won and covered and won the national championship.
It was weird. I think that what really killed them was, so they were lucky to get out of that. Well, they were down 7 at half, right, Paulie?
Yeah. Yeah, they were lucky to be down 7.
Definitely lucky. Definitely lucky.
Washington getting the ball out of halftime. Right?
And then he throws that interception, which I thought it was going to be knocked free. Yeah, and then you look up, it's 14:55, and Michigan has it at the 27 or something. Now, they only kicked a field goal then, so they weren't crushed then. But, boy, so many times they had momentum. I know they got, if you look at the numbers, over 300 yards on the ground for Michigan, and that's probably the end of it. But so many chances for Washington, and they couldn't get in sync.
No, they couldn't, Sal. Again, I think, you know, they're down a touchdown. You get the bad penalty call on like a 35-yard reception that would have put Washington pretty deep into Michigan territory. I thought then when it was still maybe a one-score game, maybe even before that play, again, a little swing pass out to the side, to the right,
to Nixon,
on a third down play to a fourth string running back, goes through his hands. And what are we doing here? Penix put right on
that. Was a good throw,
right?
Yeah,
and nobody even talked about it. Pass goes incomplete, the announcer, incomplete pass. Nobody's saying, holy smokes, that kid's got to catch it. Now they got a punt. That was bad. Washington, their defense allowed them to hang on because it looked like their defense was just going to get blitzed with that run game all night, which they did. But it happened at the beginning of the game and at the end of the
game. Very end. Yeah.
Pretty much in the middle portions of those games, their defense was pretty stout and did a pretty good job of containing Michigan. Mm-hmm. One of our buddies, Little A, had mentioned it. I have to say, even at 17-10, was not a thrilling ball game. There was something missing from that game last night.
The third quarters and all the playoff games.
I don't
weird.
Know what it was, but it was rather dull. It was dull to me. It was dull.
It was Washington. It
bad
felt like
quarterback
Michigan,
play, maybe.
Michigan was dominating, but Washington was still in the game, right? So nobody was helping themselves out. Penix threw two interceptions. It could have been five. I know they got some drops, and it could have been, you know, there was some questionable holding calls, but there were some weird throws there. Bri, Tate on Through the Ringer told me this, and you know, he might have just overloaded on gummies, but I didn't see this. Edwards' touchdown was 10-1, and an Edwards run of 10 or more yards was 7-1.
Really?
I know he's a third stringer, technically.
Well, Edwards fell off. I mean, right, this year he had 300 yards this year, right? He had fallen off compared to
the stretch. Not a lot of touches.
I mean, he looked twice as fast as everyone when he broke those.
Yeah,
he
kind of was running like Pacheco a little bit. I thought he looked like a little bit. Was running hard too, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, he broke out and he had a couple huge runs. But yeah, I can't believe those were actually the odds, though, Sal.
Crazy. Again, who knows? It's Tate. So he's kind of a chucklehead when it comes to that.
That makes sense. I think Tate's right because you look at his numbers.
Yeah.
And I mean,
well, first
he
touchdown would have been what?
Three games of a long more than 10. He only had three games this year with the long
with a
more
run
than 10.
Longer than 10? All right. That makes sense. Yeah. God, that was so easy. Just a cash if you were on it. All right.
Oh,
so
Four games.
We think Penix stock drops a little bit. We think McCarthy is maybe a first rounder, at least looking at these. Bri, so McCarthy to the Raiders. If you get McCarthy, if you get Harbaugh, but you have to get McCarthy, do you take it?
I guess
that's such a Raiders pick. It's such a Raiders pick.
I guess so. But the funny thing about that, Sal, is what would you do, right? Like if Harbaugh, you sign Harbaugh, right? And Harbaugh's like, we want McCarthy. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have to trade up a couple spots to actually get him?
I mean, you really could. I guess we have a couple like pro days and, you know,
I'm just saying like if part of the deal is Harbaugh going to the Raiders with McCarthy, like you couldn't risk not getting him, right? If that was like part of this deal.
Yeah.
Right?
So and it's whoever's in that spot, it has you over a barrel too.
I know. Well, the weird thing about McCarthy is he is a winning quarterback. I do think he's going to be a better pro than he was college quarterback. And sometimes he makes... Sometimes those throws to like the sideline are fantastic. Sometimes, like,
so
but
crazy.
then other times he's way off.
Yeah,
I mean that one he threw out of bounds was like, you know, not even close to anyone. So I don't know. I do think he's going to be a better pro, but I don't know what that means. Like
10 completions. Yeah.
All right. He's a slightly weird dude too. So I don't know if that plays well. You know.
I don't love him in the pros, though.
He does have underrated mobility.
Yeah.
Though, sure. Right. Like, kind of like, right. When he takes off, he's fast. He's fast.
Run the ball. They were back to not being able to run the ball, Parley Kid. And then he scampered right up the middle.
That's what
30.
I mean. Like, they were backed up by their goal line, I think, on a third down play. He scampers up the middle for like third 30 yards.
Yep.
That might have been the biggest play of the game for Michigan offensively. So he's got an arm. He's got the quarterback looks. He's got the quarterback name.
Yeah.
He's got the mobility, but he plays in a system that's not like a passing system, maybe in college. So maybe he'll be a better pro quarterback, but I don't know if I'd be willing to roll the dice on him.
All right. Well, there you go. There's our analysis of the college football championship. Good year. I thought it was a fun year. I got to watch Oregon come
close.
Will
it be better next year, Sal? Will it be even better next year with the playoff?
I don't know. I don't love the 12. I mean, it's more football. It's more to gamble on. So what the hell am I going to say? You can complain about everything if you really want to. But I still don't want to see upsets, right? I still want to see the top three or four teams play.
You don't want Liberty in the top 12 next year?
We were trying to figure it out. Like, Georgia would have played. Would Georgia have won the whole thing? Tate asked me this Monday night. Would Georgia have won the whole thing? They would have had to play Mississippi as an 11, and then they would have had to play. They would have been favored in all these games, obviously. Texas, and then they would have had to play, you know, let's say the favorites went out, Washington, and then Michigan. That's fun. That's actually fun, Paulie. If you look at it that way, Georgia would have to win four games, and they maybe would have. But anyway,
yeah, true.
Teams lost one game on a neutral field by 3 points in the last 30 games.
Yeah, I know. Well, we'll be back. You know what? Harry wants to look at next year's odds. Maybe we'll do that next week or something. But I did circle Georgia. Not a great number at 350, but I just feel like Kirby Smart will be back. Jeez.
Ole Miss.
That's who you got. All right. Well, see, there we go. We covered it. We don't have to do it now. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to wrap things up. All right. We got some mail. Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. Jeremy Hansen writes, Sal and the D3, forever listener, first time correspondent. I've listened to you guys for as long as I can remember. And that 5 minutes on Harry's Christmas gift to Angie was the best 5 minutes in podcast history. Wow. They got engaged on the show and that was the best. Okay. And now he quotes you. Turns out I bought her a gift card to a yoga store. It's called Lululemon or something. I could not stop laughing. I could just picture Harry and dear sweet Angie strolling into Lululemon and asking where they keep the necklaces and jewelry. The poor 21-year-old girl behind the counter is probably seconds from hitting the panic button. Anyway, I think I may have a solution to this holiday tragedy. We happen to like Lululemon. Well, my wife does, so that means I like it. So I'd be more than happy to buy Harry's gift card, and I'll even pay an extra $100 on it. Wow. Ooh. That might seem like bad math, paying $600 for $500, but the warm heart I'll get from knowing I saved Christmas in the Gagnon household will be well
that
worth
is.
It. Just give me the word.
I kind of like that a lot, but can I just ask something? Am I like, why do I get the feeling like I'm supposed to everyone knows what Lululemon is except for me. Am I supposed to know this?
Yes, you should.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, sure.
I should?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. 100%.
Okay, because I don't, I still don't even know what it is.
Well, do you know someone else who doesn't know it? I mean, I guess that's a way to do it. Ask your friends if they know it. Well, and then ask your friend Dan O'Brien if he knows what Lululemon is.
It's not McDonald's.
The question is,
can we mention that?
That one you would definitely know.
Can we mention that, though? That Harry also hung out with Dan O'Brien this weekend.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Olympian who was all over the place at one time.
1996 gold medal winner, Darren.
Terrific.
It's amazing.
Terrific. He gave Brian a nice birthday message.
Yes, it was very nice.
So there you go. All right.
Let me finish you guys this. Are in town, he'll hang, and I'm probably going to hang with him Sunday watching the games.
Oh, you still got more than emails? Go ahead, Sal. Let's hear this.
So, well, Harry, find out if he has Peacock. Maybe you can watch the game Saturday night at the O'Brien household. Right. Anyway, just give me the word, and I'll Venmo Harry right away. Well, that's not going to work. He doesn't have Venmo or Peacock. Harry can use the bonus 100 on a Korean baseball futures bet. He could spend the rest on a very, very thoughtful gift. Or another gift card at Walgreens. You're all the best. Let's rack some winners in the playoffs. Blah, blah, blah. There you go. Jeremy from Utah. See, Harry, not all Utah people suck, he says. That's good. Not all Utah people suck.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Well, Harry, what about that? What's left on the Lululemon gift card? Anything?
I'll have to check.
You think she spent any of it? You think she spent?
I don't think she has.
Yeah. Well, this is a good deal then. $600 for $500. I have all his information, Jeremy.
You know what?
I figure you get to $300 here. I'm surprised I'm excited.
This is BS. Yeah. This is where Harry should be saying, you know what? I'll send it to you for $400.
Yes. Of
this is what you do. This is how you come back.
Why?
This is how you become a man of the people. This is what we're talking. You say to Jeremy, "Hey Jeremy, you know what? That's such a nice offer. I'll tell you what, $400 for the $500 gift card."
Yeah. Harry,
that's not how upstate New Yorkers roll. And by the way, Brian, right now Mario Bosco is calling me.
I'm getting a text from Mario Bosco too.
Oh my god. Wow.
You know what? I got
answer it during the podcast.
Is she in the hospital or something?
No,
can
I got to go.
Can he take it, Sal?
We have Peter King in 10 minutes. Maybe I'll bring Mario. I'll bring Mario on with Peter King. We could talk Wild Card Weekend. All right. That's it. Meatballs, right? We got to get out of here. It's enough. All right. So that's going to do it. We're going to come back with another podcast tomorrow. And also, Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Harry, you're jumping on with me, right? We're going to do all the Super Wild Card Weekend games, six of them. Then it gets thin, guys. We're getting to the end here. I noticed there are fewer and fewer teams remaining. There were 32.
I think it's 10 and 3, Sal. 14. I think I was 10 and
you
3
were?
On Cousin Sal's.
What do I have you at?
Wow, nice, Bri.
No, on Cousin Sal's.
10 and 3. Right, because you had the college game. I want to mention that. Yeah. Bri was 10 and 3. And awesome, I was 6-7. That's a great showing, Bri, on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. I had one of the worst picks there. Eagles point total over 20 something and a half. My God, that was so bad. Harry's got a tough act to follow on Cousin Sal's winning weekend. Bri was 10-3. Unless he follows my act, not as tough, 6-7. But that's going to do it for another episode of Against All Odds. For Mikey Meatballs in the D3, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na 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 na. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit FanDuel.com/RG in Colorado, Iowa, Kentucky, Michigan, New Jersey, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Tennessee, and Virginia. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona, 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org/chat in Connecticut, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana, 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia, or call 1-800-522-4700 in Wyoming. Hope is here. Visit gamblinghelplinema.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support in Massachusetts, or call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPENY in New York.